If you would, in your Bibles this evening, turn to Matthew, a familiar passage we'll use as a context for a topical message. We'll use this as an introduction to our getting back to finishing up. We only like about 13 verses in Philippians, and we're going to finish those up starting next Sunday night. And then we'll start on another book of the Bible. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, again, familiar passage to most Christians. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Is not the life more? I tell you what, there is more to life. Life is more. Life is more. Life is more than just stuff. Life is more than just, you know, what the average everyday person out there is living. Life is more. Because the average everyday person out there does not take into account eternity. Life is more. And I'm looking forward to eternity with the Lord. Amen? Tonight, we're just going to preach on the subject of selflessness. Or, again, we think about the book of Philippians. The theme of Philippians is joy. But joy that's produced by being selfless. It's selflessness. It's caring more about others than ourselves that produces joy in our life. If you'll take care of others, if you'll do for others, then you will experience true, genuine joy. Amen? So we need to learn to share, right? We teach our kids that. And as Christians, we need to learn to share. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless this time. Bless the reading of your word. Help us, the Lord, to be generous and giving, loving and kind to those around us as we preach this morning and tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. When I am counseling with a young couple or whatever couple to get married, and they come and spend about three or four sessions with me, one of the things I point out is when you get married, it's no more my stuff, but it becomes our stuff. Amen? And what we live in a society today where a lot of people get married and sometimes they keep their own stuff. And that can be a problem, and that will eventually be a problem. I'm amazed, again, at how many men and women, husbands and wife, have their own separate checking accounts. I personally don't get that. I guess maybe it works for you, but that's not sharing your stuff. That's not putting your stuff together. I see that a lot in divorced couples where they've been hurt before, and so when they get married again, they'll keep their own stuff. But yet, when we become one, and when we get married, we become one, our stuff ought to be shared. It's our stuff, not my stuff. It's our stuff. Amen? And so we ought to learn in a relationship as well as in life to share with others around us. Again, as I quoted this morning where Paul said in Philippians, he says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That we need to be looking out for our neighbors. That we need to be kind and gracious to those around us and loving and kind. In fact, the mark of a maturing Christian is sharing. A mark of a maturing Christian is a selfless Christian, one that cares more about others than their stuff, Again, as we think about this sharing, how we react to the needs of others says a lot about our maturity. The law says, what's mine is mine, I'll keep it. Lust says, what's yours is mine, I'll take it. But love says, what's mine is yours, I'll share it. And we ought to love one another. Many put pleasing self in front of God and getting things ahead of loving people. So, again, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We know that the verse there, in verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I've given you the end of the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is, God is my goal, or He's my strength. God, Christ is my life. Chapter 1, Christ is my life. Chapter 2 is Christ is my mind. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3 is Christ is my go. I press toward the mark. And that mark for every Christian is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And then chapter 4, where we're going to finish up, is Christ is my strength. In other words, if we are to live the Christian life, if we are to press toward the goal of being like Christ, selfless, sharing and loving and kind, then it's going to take the strength of Christ to do it. And then the conclusion of the matter is, if I'm looking out for everybody else, who's going to look out for me? But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. In other words, if we look out for others and we care for others and we share with others, it is God who will take care of us. Give and it shall be given unto you. As we give, as we share, God will give to us and take care of us. It is a principle of the Bible and it works every time. It's a promise of the Bible that works every time. Again, we should be put pleasing God in front of everything else in our life. Luke chapter 16, verse 15 says, "For that which was highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." In other words, what man thinks is preeminent, what man thinks is number one, is abomination of God. And there's this, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Fun, fortune, and fame. That's what mankind is seeking after. By the way, that's how Satan entices us as well. Fun, fortune, and fame. Can I remind you, fun, fortune, and fame do not bring joy. Selflessness and sharing and love brings joy in our life. True joy is not met by stuff. It's not met by those who may lift us up or only pride. But love will bring, and selflessness will bring joy. And can I remind you too that God knows our hearts. In other words, we can share with others, but if our heart's not right, it don't matter, you know, matter a hill of beans. By the way, beans are pretty good. When I was growing up, we ate beans about every other week, sometimes more often. Dad put them in a big pot, put a few peppers in there, and said, "Oh, my dad makes the best beans." And cornbread, Brother Silas, it's awesome. Cornbread, stick it in that juice of those beans, eat it. That had nothing to do with anything. Except I could tell the crowd. The crowd was asleep this morning, too. It was pretty, you know, it was kind of one of those crowds. And so I want to help y'all out tonight. But God knows our heart. Motivation matters to God. And why you give matters. The Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And so as we share with others, you know, you ever seen, your two children are fussing and fighting with one another over a toy, and you say, "Hey, share." And you know, one of them grabs it, and one of them gives it, but they give it begrudgingly. Their heart's not in it, right? You may tell them to do it, and they'll do it, but their heart's not in it. So as we talk about sharing and loving others and giving to others and being selfless, and that brings joy into our life, it only does that if our motivation's right. And God knows our heart. God knows our heart. He sees our heart, and so we understand that. God requires that we be right in relation to the stuff that we have. In other words, God requires that we be rightly related to God, to people, and to things. I know Brother Zellner's teaching the Sermon on the Mount, I believe, in two Thursday nights. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ is basically saying, if you were just to boil it all down, he's saying, you need to be right with God, right with people, and right with things. Right? And in that order. Be right with God, things in order, right with people, and then right with things. And so as long as we keep that in order, God will bless that. God comes first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And as Christians, we know that, but another thing to practice it. If God comes first in our life, all the other priorities will line up in life. Right? I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but there are some here tonight because they're not putting God first. Something else came to mind tonight. Amen? I mean, I'm just rubber meets the road. Maybe they're watching on live stream. But we need to put God first. Whether it's a decision about our stuff or a decision about people, then it's God first. God always comes first. People come second. Those we like and those we don't like. I touched on that this morning. People come second. Those we like and those we don't like. So before our stuff, even those we don't like comes before our stuff. That's hard, isn't it? It really is hard. One of the greatest ways to rid yourself of bitterness, of course, is to pray for those who despitefully use you. but also to give to those who wrong you. And if you can do so with a right heart, you'll be surprised how your heart will melt towards that person. By the way, it's real hard to be bitter towards someone you pray for. And it's real hard to gossip about somebody you pray for. Isn't that good? I read that today. So that's pretty good. I'm going to say that tonight. That's good stuff. Kind of like that other saying. I thought that was awesome. The law says what's mine is mine, I'll keep it. Lust says what's yours is mine, I'll take it. And love says what's mine is yours, I'll share it. That's Warren Wiersbe. That's pretty good. I didn't come up with that. That was awesome. Stuff. Things come last. God comes first. People come second. Again, those we like and those we don't like, and things come last. Jesus does not condemn things. Of course that. Brother House touched on this while he was here. He even quoted the verse, 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God giveth to all richly to enjoy. And those things that God has given us, were given to us to enjoy. And whatever stuff you have that God has given you, you ought to enjoy that stuff. But not at the expense of people and not at the expense of God. God, people, and then our stuff and things. We are simply to be stewards of the stuff God has given us. We are not the owners. By the way, we're just stewards. We're just general managers of what God has given us. And one day the master will come, the boss will come and audit the books. So we need to be careful how we use the stuff God has given us. Stuff was meant to be enjoyed. Years ago, on my 30th birthday, years ago, that's 12 years ago, just for those who would like to know, I bought a motorcycle, a brand new one, a Suzuki 850 Intruder. I said, on my 30th birthday, I'm going to go buy me a motorcycle. Aunt Jean, a lot of church members didn't like that I bought one. My wife didn't like that I bought one, but I put my foot down, so I'm going to buy a motorcycle. I wear the pants in this family. She just tells me how to put them on, you know. And so I drove that thing for about a year, and I found out pretty quickly that I couldn't drive it in town. It had to be all driven out of town, and wasn't getting used a whole lot. You know how it is, 30-year-old stuff. Anyway, so a friend of mine, I know this is a decision, it's a long discussion here, but it's going to be all right. A friend took me fishing on a lake. His name is Terry Terry. Some of y'all know him. He pastors in Boyd. But I grew up fishing all my life, fishing in ponds and tanks. But I'd never been on a boat in a lake all my life. So Brother Terry took me and the two boys, the two oldest boys, out fishing. We caught some big old hybrids on Lake Bridgeport. And I said to the boys, I like this. Let's do this. So we went and bought this little boat. A little boat. A little 15-foot, 1976 fiberglass little boat with a 1992 Johnson Tracker motor, 25 horsepower on the back of it. I mean, I bought it in cash. I paid $1,500 for it. Y'all know the story. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but about 2 years into that little boat, which was a great little boat, we got caught on Bridgeport in a storm. And after we finally got back to the dock, back to the boat ramp, my wife looks at me and says, buy a bigger boat. She's not going back out in that one. And she was right. It was dangerous. We had seven of us on that little boat. But we were catching fish. It was awesome. But the storm came up. Anyway, so I went and bought a bigger boat. Before I went and bought the bigger boat, I said, well, and again, we had used the little boat, so we knew we'd use the big boat. So we were being, you know, trying to be good stewards. I said, we'll buy a little boat first and find out whether or not we're going to use it enough to justify having it. Motorcycle, boat. Motorcycle, bye-bye. Boat, put in its place. Best decision I ever made. I know those other good decisions in my life, but I'm saying in that particular, of that particular stuff that I had, that was mine, the stuff, I made a good decision of putting the family, if you would, I'm not bragging on myself, I'm just telling you what I did, and ahead of my own want, which was enjoying a motorcycle, which really I could only enjoy, whereas the boat for now 10 and a half years, we've had that boat 10 and a half years, my family has enjoyed the boat immensely. We've been able to do things as a family together all these years. What a blessing. That's what I mean by we got to be careful about our stuff and where we put that into our lives. But by that I mean our stuff's meant to be enjoyed. It's not that you can't have stuff. Just don't put your stuff in front of God. That means if I had a boat and I fished on Sunday, that would be putting my stuff in front of God. Amen? See, I'm just prioritizing. I've enjoyed the youth department taking my boat out. They've enjoyed taking it out and taking some of these boys. Oh, man. Anyway, tubing and other things. The boat's been a huge blessing. And you make the right choice when it comes to it. But things were meant to be enjoyed. Gifts that have been given to us ought to be shared. The first gift given to us was life. It is God who gives life. Acts 17 says, "In Him we live and move and have our being." The Bible makes it clear in Acts that He holds our very breath in His hand. It is God who gives life. Speaking of that subject, I'm glad to see our new president, at least he's able to, by executive order, to shut down again, as President Bush did, the support of abortion overseas by our tax dollars. It's still unbelievable to me that a president can sign an executive order, as Obama did in 2009, and just make that arbitrary decision to use tax dollars to support abortion around the world. And I'm thankful President Trump stopped that once again. Because life begins at conception. It is God who gives life. He said, "Before I was in the womb, I knew thee." Life begins at conception. The heart begins to beat on the 14th day of their existence. A baby's heart begins to beat 14 days after conception. That's a life. And God gave you life. And God gave me life. That life was given to me. It was received. It was a gift from God. Carl Sagan says, I don't even know what life is. In fact, Carl Sagan had a hard time. He couldn't define life. Scientists still have a hard time defining life. It's God who gives life. I like it. Someone has said, "Life is a span of time in which the first half is ruined by our parents and the second half by our children." That guy was definitely a pessimist. But life comes from life. And God alone has life in Himself. He is. He said, "I come to give life." He is the giver of life. As we just read a moment ago, life is more. Life is more than what you are doing in the here and now. Life is more than work and going to work in the morning, getting up early and riding home in the traffic. Life is more than stuff. Life is more than school. Life is more. Life is more. Eternity is in it. And we ought to be careful while here on earth to make good investments in eternity. By the way, life is more. Life is more than stuff. Life is hugs. I'm getting to a point in a minute. Life is surprises. Life is sunrises. Life is weddings. Life. Again, many leave out the internal. By the way, Solomon said, when you leave out the eternal aspect, all is vanity. And Hebrews, the Hebrew word for vanity means futile and nonsense. Solomon says all life is futile and a bunch of nonsense when you take out God out of the perspective. Putting God first. Keeping His commandments. If we were to gain the whole world and lose our own soul, we lost everything. In other words, we'd be careful about the investments we make now. And that is by sharing life. God gave us life. We are to share that life with others. Sharing from the heart. And I've already mentioned this, but it should be our heart's desire to live for Him. Not just because we have to, but because we want to. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In other words, Paul was saying, for me to live is to live for Christ. He said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering. Paul lived for Christ. He said, "I count all things but lost that I might know Christ." Paul lived for Christ. We ought to, as Christians, live for the Lord. Every area, not just on Sunday and Wednesdays, but every day of our life, live for Jesus Christ. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And in verse 24 of chapter 1, he says, "But it is needful that I stay here for you." Remember, he says, "I'm in a strait between two, having desire to depart, but it's needful that I stay here for you." Notice Paul was saying, "I'm going to put your needs in front of my own. I'm going to put your wishes in front of my own. He said, I want to go to heaven. He was in prison there in Philippians. He said, I want to go to heaven, but it's more important that I stay here that I might be able to minister to you. Paul putting the needs of others in front of himself. Amen? What a great example for us to live for Christ for others. And not to do so reluctantly, but to do so lovingly. Again, God knows our heart. And then we think about life and time. I mentioned this morning, but time is priceless. As we live this life, we invest in eternity. Can I remind you that stuff can be replaced, but time cannot? When I say love is spelled T-I-M-E, it's because it's the most important thing you can give. Because it's something you cannot get back. In other words, if I give you $10 of my cash tonight, I'm not going to do it. I don't know if I even have $10. My wife gave me $10. Oh, I have a $20 bill. That's unusual. I don't trust anybody on the front row. Not on the second row either.
How does that make you feel?
I trust Miss Clark because I'm hoping she gives it back to me. So I give Miss Clark $20. Known Miss Clark for like 20 years now. So I trust her with my $20. I give her $20. I'm going to make that back tomorrow. I'm thankful the church pays me. I'm going to make that back tomorrow. I'll make that back within a few hours of tomorrow. The church takes care of me very well. I appreciate it very, very much. I'm blessed. And most of you, you'll make that back quickly too. Amen? I gave it away, but I know I'm going to get it back. Right? I've been to the Clark's house when a cow put herself out in a little, it's not really even a pond out in front of their house, but kind of a little pond, having a calf. It's cold and yucky and muddy. I know this is gross, but and so we were called upon to help. And we go down to their house and we began to pull that calf. It was something. I don't even think the calf survived to that one. I don't remember if it did or not. It did? It did survive. So we pulled the calf. I took time to go down. I invested some time in helping Brother Clark with his calf. And the calf lived. Woohoo, everybody. Right? So I shared my time with the Clarks. I didn't have to do that. Right? You don't have to help your neighbor. At that time, we lived down the street from him, down the county road from him. So I went and helped him. So I gave my time to them. I can't get that time back. Tomorrow, I'm going to earn... Oh, thank you. Tomorrow, I'm going to earn this back. But the time that I help them, I can't earn that back. Everybody see the difference? I know that this represents time as well. I understand that to a certain extent. But my time is the most valuable possession that I can give away. And I promise you, young couples in here, the most precious thing to your kids is your time. It's the most valuable possession you have. It's more important than the stuff. And can I remind you, your neighbor, the most important thing you give to your neighbor is your time. The most important thing you can give is your time. And we need to be careful about time because we will give an account for our works. We'll give an account for our time. I said this morning, we will not give an account for our sins. When we get to heaven, we are not going to give an account for sins. I don't know why in Christians' mind they got this ideal that they are going to. But when you get to heaven, your sins are not going to be put up on a screen. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. But you will, and I will, give an account for my works, whether they be good or bad. And basically that means, the good and the bad means, whether I was working and doing for myself and for my own glory, or was I working and doing for God's glory? Amen? Was I doing it out of motivation of love and concern and empathy and so forth for someone else? Or was I doing it so I could get a pat on the back? I won't get a reward for the times I helped somebody because I wanted a pat on the back. I don't remember if Miss Clark fed me that day or not. I don't remember if that was my motivation or not, but I don't believe it was. We ought to do for others without expecting anything in return. Amen? Everybody with me? And so as we think about giving of our time and giving of our life to others, we ought to give graciously and lovingly. A maturing Christian lives for giving. The grace of God compels us to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 says the Corinthian church first gave themselves to God and then to us. We ought to give ourselves to God and then to others. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, Christ is our example. The Bible says he became poor that we might become rich. Christ gave it all, as I said this morning. And in love, what is love? It's love is giving all. It's to give everything. It's to give everything to those whom we love around us and those sometimes we don't like around us, to give to them, to share with them our time, our possessions. As we put God first, people second, and possessions third, our priorities line up. It's God first, family second, church third, job last. Stuff is always last. Always last. People are more important than stuff. So the grace of living, the grace living, will help me adjust my priorities and make the most of my time that God has given me. Give and it shall be given unto you. It's a principle in the Bible, found in Corinthians. You give and God will give back to you. The important thing is that you don't give expecting God to give back to you. Does that make sense? And I know Johnny Flanagan, y'all get tired of his songs, but his song growing up, give to get to give. It's all right to give to get as long as you get to give. It's not. It's give to get. Give to get. Give to get to give. It's our motivation matters. It matters to God. Giving and sharing. Time for one more illustration. John chapter 12. Turn there with me if you would. John chapter 12. Here we have Mary of Bethany. In verse 1 it says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. So this is 6 days before the Passover was to start and he was going to go die on the cross. Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Verse 2, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. It's 1 year's salary, by the way. She broke this spice, 1 year's salary. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? You know, Judas was selfish and a thief. Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and the bag and bear which he put therein. I just messed all that up. Let's read that again. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear what was put therein. Verse 7. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my bearing hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me have not always. Again, oil was poured on Jesus' feet. 1 year's salary. And again, stuff does represent our time in that we had to earn wages to pay for that. It took time to earn that stuff. She took her stuff that she had saved, 1 year's salary. And what happened in these days is they would take and buy these spikenard, they'd buy this perfume, and they would set it up as an investment for retirement. It was a way they would use for retirement. So she was taking, not only was she taking a year's salary, but she was taking something she had saved for retirement and broke that and gave that to Jesus. 1 year. I don't think Mary sat down before she did that and thought, this thing is worth 1 year's salary. And I'm going to do this? I don't think she counted the cost. I think she saw the Savior. Love motivated her to share what he had given him, given her, and she broke that and gave that to the Lord. By the way, the Lord said over, and Mark tells you a little more of the story, he says, because of what she's done, she'll be talked about from now on through all eternity. And she has right here. Her story lives on because she gave and she shared with a willing heart, with a heart of love for her Lord and Master. Need to be careful about when we are sharing that we do so without calculating. You think about Moses when he left Egypt. I don't think he calculated. He just knew it was the right thing to leave. I don't think David, when he offered up sacrifices, was calculating how much those sacrifices cost. No, he just loved the Lord and sacrificed to the Lord. Calculating Christians saved their lives only to lose them. By the way, Mary was criticized for her generous gift. And as you give and share with others, there is no doubt that you will be criticized. Why do you give to that church? Nobody's ever said that to you? Why do you give that to the church? Why did you give that? Or why did you do that for such and such? And I've heard this one before. He was mean to you. Why did you do that to him? Why did you give that to him? Listen, we need to give and share to others. As God prompts us, as we see a need, we need to be a giving, sharing people. It's a sign or it is a mark of Christian maturity to share and to love those around us. When we place ourselves aside and put God first, people second, and our stuff third. By the way, if you don't count the cost, who cares about the criticism? Amen? By the way, they called D.L. Moody Crazy Moody and many others who sacrificed for the Lord. But think of the blessing that we can be to those around us. And that's what we want to be. Be a blessing. This goes along with the sermon this morning. It goes along with the theme of the book of Philippians. What is love? Let's love others. Let's share with those around us. I don't mean for this today to be necessarily a touchy-feely thing, but for me, it spoke to me. Let's be kind to those around us. Let's be loving and kind to those around us. Let's be like Jesus. To those we like and those we don't like. And let us sacrifice for those. Let us spend time with those around us. And don't get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of this world. When's the last time you took your wife out on a date? When's the last time you took your husband out on a date? When's the last time you brought home flowers? I said all that this morning. You know, when's the last time you spent time together? When's the last time you spent time with your kids or your grandkids? What are you doing with your life? Because time is eternity. Let's make sure we invest wisely. Let's all stand. Hymn 500, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. As after we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these principles found in your Bible, our guide for life. And Lord, we know if we follow your book, that our life will be so much better for it. God, help us to put you first in our life, that our priorities might be right. Putting those around us second and putting our stuff way down at the bottom. God, we pray that this week we could act out and we could live out in action that love that you've so richly given to us, that others would see you in our own lives. Lord, give us an opportunity to tell others of why we have this love, that we might give them the gospel. Lord, bless the reading of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, hymn 500. Pass me.